glad it is so good to be here officially on staff, getting to know some of you. Y'all have been fantastic. Okay, a little bit more life. Y'all have been fantastic, I mean it. I was at Worship in the Park with some of you serving Elijah and some of the rest of the team that were there, and I just love the heart of this church. I love that you guys are partnering with what God is already doing, and it's good, and I believe there are good things that are still to come. It's going to be a great season. And as we looked in the Psalms, how many of you have been enjoying this series in the Psalms? Throw your hands up. Absolutely. Yeah, Pastor Curtis, yeah, Pastor Scott that came and preached on the Psalms, and it's a summer on repeat. We're going to be diving into one of my favorite Psalms. One of them I read to my little baby boy, Meyer Moses Beadle, almost every single night. And we're going to be looking at Psalms 23. Before we get there, how many of you have actually read this psalm? And before you throw your hands up, if you have been a Christian for a decade plus, don't worry, we're not aging anyone out here. But if you've been a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ for over a decade plus, how many of you have read this psalm? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? How many of you are new to the faith, like Christianity is new, and you already know Psalm 23? Throw your hands up. Okay? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's interesting because this psalm is widely known, whether that's in Christian circles or not. Psalm chapter 23, after 9/11 happened, President Bush would actually reference this psalm. I know that this isn't a Christian artist and maybe not the cleanest of lyrics, but Tupac would also refer this psalm. Maybe you've grown up in Christian households and you've seen, okay, how many of you have this poster of Jesus as the Good Shepherd somewhere in your home? He has a staff, there's a sheep lying down. How many of you at least grew up with one of those images? Throw your hands up. Yeah, there's a few of you. I did. I grew up with that. Or maybe Jesus is the Good Shepherd and he's like lying down, like cross-kneeling. I'm not going to do that right now because I'll hurt myself. But there are some sheep beside him, and you see these lush green meadows, and it's just fields of grass. How many of you have ever seen a picture like that? Throw your hands up. Yeah, lots of grass. A great shepherd. And this is the imagery, perhaps, that we have of Psalm chapter 23. And here's what I want to say. Please don't shoot the messenger, because we're going to dive into the context of Psalm 23, and it might be different than perhaps what we know Psalm 23 to be. But first, let's read it, and it says this. It says that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. So you've seen, or maybe you've heard about this psalm. And the imagery that comes with Psalm 23, like I said before, is that we got lots of lush green grass, and you've seen this maybe in some of the images, right? Like right up there, you can see it. This is absolutely stunning. But what I want us to be careful of is that sometimes we put the focus on the pasture land instead of the shepherd. And that's what we want to talk about today. The focus of this psalm really isn't on the pasture land. It's actually on the shepherd. And when we're looking at Psalm chapter 23, we need to be careful because, yeah, you know what? In Canada, in Ireland, in UK, in the US, you can see like lots of green grass like that. Like that looks absolutely beautiful. That looks like it's probably in BC perhaps, right? Like it's just gorgeous. And this is what we are envisioning when we see Psalm chapter 23. But if you go into the geography of when David would have written this psalm, perhaps it's actually a lot more different than what we would be used to. You see, in Israel, they had the four seasons, but their seasons were a lot more different in terms of time length than what we would know. And there's another thing for us to know. When you are growing things, especially in Israel, they have beautiful land that probably could have looked something similar, but it was dedicated for agriculture. And if you're growing things in agriculture, how many of you actually want some of your animals there? Yeah, probably not. No, okay, Yannicka wants her animals there. Maybe we got to work on some gardening, because I'll tell you what. So my lovely wife is here, and she loves gardening. When I'm talking about gardening, I mean like she watches an hour of this lady doing gardening stuff every single day. A little bit too much, but that's what she likes to do. She watches this lady, and we started going from Walmart plants over to like the greenhouse kind of plants. I feel like we kind of upgraded in our plant level. So she gets her greenhouse plants. We go to our backyard. We start planting it. It's beautiful looking. I wanted roses. I got my roses. That's the only thing I wanted. I don't know the rest about plants. She knows the zoning. She knows all that stuff. But she does that. She plants it. But where we are in Orillia currently, in our backyard, it is like animal sanctuary heaven has fallen upon us. And that sounds beautiful to you. We got pigeons over there. We got some not so nice looking birds like turkey vultures that are flying around. I don't know why, but they're there. So we got some of those. And then we also have other animals. My dog has been sprayed twice by a skunk. We have raccoons that come through. But like, this is just a small plot of land. When I was in Sunridge, we didn't even have that many animals coming through. We have squirrels that are digging up most of our plants and that are also starting to eat our plants. And then we have our rabbits. Listen, in Disney movies, those things are cute. They're lovely. But if you have a garden, those things are not cute because they literally eat most of your plants. So here goes a bunch of money from our greenhouse plants because our rabbits have reproduced rapidly and have eaten most of our plants. What am I trying to get at? You probably don't want a bunch of sheep near your agriculture. And this is what Jack Beck would say, and he has been to Israel several times. If you like Our Daily Bread, I used to read them as a kid, but now they actually have a YouTube series, and he would go into the historic land of Israel and actually describe what it looks like. So where does that actually bring us? It brings us to this place, which we are going to look at. We'll throw the slide on the screen. It brings us to the Judean wilderness. Not what you would imagine with Psalm 23. Not what you would imagine with Psalm 23. I mean, sure, some of these sheep might have been in green pastures a little bit, maybe for a short season, but David, who was writing this, would have known that this is going to be a part of the journey. And when you start looking at the Judean wilderness, you might not be able to see it on the screen, but you could actually see a little bit of grass there. It's not a lot, but there's some. And you might think that that's a geological formation with all those lines that are in this place, in the Judean wilderness. Those actually aren't just natural formations over hundreds and hundreds of years. These are lines that have been put in place because shepherd and sheep have been trekking on that journey for quite some time, and these are the result of the lines. Like, look at this picture for a second. Psalm 23 looks completely different, doesn't it? You still got what you need. It's almost like it's enough. It's still there to help the sheep. You got rough terrain, and this terrain isn't easy. Like one small misstep, and it could really hurt your sheep, possibly to the point of death. The Judean wilderness. Is there still life? Is there still grass? Is there everything that is needed? Absolutely. But if you're looking at the terrain that we are looking at currently, like the shepherd really needed to know, we're looking at Psalm 23, right? He leads me along the right paths of righteousness. We're looking at the right paths that God leads us to. And when David is writing this, we're looking at this. He leads me along the right paths of righteousness. one wrong step, and perhaps the sheep possibly ends up dying. It's rocky. This terrain isn't easy. We still see that there's grass, but perhaps it's not as lush as we would have thought it to be. So now Psalm 23 completely changes for us. Because the focus isn't on the pasture land, the focus is on the shepherd. And the focus is on a good shepherd who knows how to lead us in wilderness seasons, in times that are tough, in the terrain and the rockiness of your life. Here is the good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Listen, your shepherd knows the terrain of life. And you could trust your good shepherd on this. But if our gaze and our focus is constantly focused on the pasture land that we're looking for, perhaps we're not going to get the peace that we need. Joe Amaral also has a great video. And Joe Amaral is a part, or many of us might know him from helping lead some trips over to Israel. And he has his own series. And now he's a host on 100 Huntley Street. He's written some books. But he spent a good amount of time in Israel. And one of his videos, he actually shows that that land that we saw before, sometimes shepherds would literally have to lead them around and around and around until they get to some pasture-ish area up on a mountain. Like, how many of you feel like you have just been going around and around and around in life, right? Anyone want to take a shortcut? I'm going to be real. Shortcuts would be nice sometimes. So be real with yourself. Sometimes you want to take the shortcut in life, but when we start looking at this terrain, here is a good shepherd who knows the right path to lead you on, even if it means that you're going to feel like you're going around and around and around so that he could lead you to what you need. This is your good shepherd, church. But do you ever feel like you want to take the shortcut? You look at that terrain, and maybe the good shepherd is leading you in paths of righteousness because he's actually trying to protect you. Maybe your good shepherd is actually leading you in the right paths because he wants what's best for you. He knows the terrain. He knows the season of life that you're in. He knows that it's rocky, but maybe he's actually trying to protect you in it instead of having you do the shortcut. Maybe you're here and you might be doing some of the nursing programs or the medical programs, like you want to take a shortcut. You've known this information for quite some time. Maybe you're one of the veterans here. But if we took a shortcut being in the medical profession of saying, you know what, that looks like a familiar thing. I see this on their body. This is the diagnosis. All done. Would you ever trust that? Yeah, probably not. You don't want the shortcut. Maybe you're here in business and God has been doing some awesome things for you and you can feel like, hey, I need to take a shortcut. And what does that look like? Maybe your business has grown. It's been skyrocketing. Revenue is up. Things are going really well. But maybe you know that, you know what? Maybe I don't need to put all the systems in place so that this business sustains itself. And maybe God is actually saying, hey, listen, I'm trying to help you out here. This might be a longer process, but I'm trying to sustain you. I'm trying to protect you. Any parents in the building here? Throw your hands up really quickly. Listen, I'm not trying to out you on this because I am completely guilty of this one, of young children, I should say. Maybe life is just so hectic. You've been working so many hours and you want to take the shortcut in life. And the shortcut might be like pulling out one of these things, right? Anyone kind of do this? You pull out one of these things, you put your kids on it because, Lord, you just want some peace at the end of the day, just a little bit, right? But you know that maybe too much iPad time isn't the best. Now, I'm going to vouch for some iPad time with my children because it does bring some peace. Maybe I need this sermon for myself. But maybe it's that, or maybe you're at home and you know that the best way to teach your kid in the long run, helping them go round and around, even if it's tiring for you, is actually teaching them how to do their chores instead of taking a shortcut. So all this to say this, the good shepherd knows the terrain of your life. He doesn't want you taking the shortcuts because he loves you. Like, it's not easy when we look at Psalm 23, but it does become all the more real to us when we are going through this. So we went through the Judean wilderness, and here is something that happened to me. I'm looking at this, and I started becoming one of these people. Listen, I wanted the shortcut to my own life. I wasn't born into a pastor's kid's family. That wasn't me. That wasn't my story. But I did end up going to Bible college, and I praise God for that opportunity. I was so grateful to be there. But around me, and this is the era of everything is focused on leadership. I probably have like 20-plus books on leadership on my shelves or in my parents' basement at the current moment. And I felt like I needed to create all these opportunities so that I can lead or I can do something so that I would be recognized, because pastor's kids sometimes got different job opportunities while they were working in Bible college. And I felt like, you know what? I just got to lead my life. I'm doing this for God. And unfortunately, I didn't do it with God. But I'm just going to create all the opportunities that I want. But in Bible college, we have this thing. It happens after January. First semester is done, second semester enters, and a few weeks later, we go into Muskoka Bible Camp. I love that retreat center. And we go here, and it's a time of refreshment, mainly for our own spiritual lives and to get in alignment with God. We're there for about 3 days. Day number three is done. Lots of great sermons, lots of great things that have happened. And we're doing this ministry time, and you know, some of us are releasing prophetic words to each other or words of encouragement. And I watch my friend, and my friend comes over to me, and he's just like, hey, Jeff, can I pray for you? And I was like, absolutely, I'll take it. He prays for me, and the words that he says are this. Something along the lines of, hey, Jeff, don't forget that you too are sheep, and God is your shepherd. And this is a season where I'm constantly trying to create the opportunities so that somehow that maybe I could get a ministry position, somehow that I could end up in a church. Like immature little Josh is over here, struggling over here. And the truth is, I wasn't letting the shepherd lead me in that season. I was trying to figure it out myself. And I'm gonna be honest with you. My reaction was, hey, thanks so much, bro, I appreciate that. But in my head, my thoughts were, dude, do you not know that like we gotta do some work here? Right? Like things aren't just gonna move themselves. We gotta put in some work here. We need to create some opportunities. Anyone been down that road a little bit? We gotta put in some work here. And soon enough, we are like sheep that are trying to lead the way, but we are sheep. Like we too are sheep. We're not the shepherd, and we need to be careful here. But we need to recognize something. God is the good shepherd. He knows the season of your life. He knows the terrain. He knows how and where to take you. He knows it. And here's the thing. When they were referencing what a shepherd would be, this was actually not just like David was a shepherd and he's writing from this lens. Absolutely, young David was a shepherd. But this was also used as different languages to represent kings. Kings in Mesopotamia, kings in the ancient eastern areas. And here is what a shepherd was supposed to be. A shepherd was someone who had oversight for his people, and this is what it says a shepherd was supposed to be. It says that a shepherd was supposed to be a just ruler. A shepherd was supposed to be a benevolent provider. And here's one that's coming out of the Lexham Bible Dictionary. He was supposed to be a powerful defender. You see, the people sometimes in this era would have felt helpless unless they had a king who knew how to lead and take care of his flock. Listen, your shepherd isn't just sitting on the sidelines. Like we look at some of these Psalm 23 images and it's peaceful. It helps us fall asleep, right? You look at one of those images and it's like, God, Jesus, so peaceful. I could be in that grass. And it's good. But in Psalm 23, maybe you're here and you're just like, that terrain, Jesh, the Judean wilderness, maybe that's my season of life. Listen, your shepherd isn't just doing a number head count and saying, okay, sheep 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, all the way up to 50 X, I don't know, give me a random number. That's however many sheep are going into the gate, it's all good. Like, your shepherd is literally, it says that his rod and his staff are going to comfort you. Like, these aren't passive things. The shepherd is actively in your life. He's actively watching over you. The rod and your staff, those are actually tools that meant, like, hey, if I need to defend something, if there's a predator that's coming your way, if there's something that's going to hurt you coming your way in your life, in your season right now, I am going to protect you. I'm not just doing a head count for you. The shepherd is right there with you. He's actively in your life. That is what this psalm is about. The psalm isn't just us focusing on the pasture land and getting to the place that it feels good. It's a focus on who the good shepherd is. And here's a shepherd that is actively engaging in our lives. Actively there for you no matter what it's looking like. But here's one thing I want us to remember. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Your sheep. We too are sheep. No one get offended here because we're all sheep, okay? I got the word for my life. I got it too. Listen, I got to be real with you though. Sheep aren't really the smartest of animals. Yeah, so you might have just called someone not smart. All good. We're all in the boat together. My friend said, you two are sheep. This whole psalm, the illustration is a shepherd taking care of his sheep. Sheep aren't really the smartest of animals. Maybe you've seen this video, maybe for some of our younger folk, and you saw this video on YouTube or YouTube or Instagram. This is how I'm aging myself out. I'm a millennial. YouTube or Instagram, and you're watching this sheep that is stuck in this crevice, right? Like, it's stuck in this rocky area. And this guy comes over, and he picks up this sheep, and he protects it. He takes it out. He leads it. And this sheep is, like, doing this, la-da-da-da-da, yeah, life is all good. And then it just dive bombs right back into the same crevice. Anyone there? But here's a good shepherd who's going to keep picking you up out of that crevice. It says that the Lord leaves the 99 for you, the one. So maybe today you might be feeling like, hey, I too am sheep. I've been in that crevice. God pulled me out, but I keep going back to the same crevice. I keep going back to the same place. Here's a good God that is with you, actively participating in your life, making sure that you are protected. But here's the thing. We too are sheep. Sometimes we keep making the same mistakes that we shouldn't be making. But here's a good shepherd who knows the right paths to lead you on, who knows where the pasture places of grass are. We too are sheep. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you too are sheep. Here's the interesting thing about sheep. There are three things that make it really hard. When we're looking at this psalm, it says that the Lord makes me lie down. Do you know how hard it is for sheep to lie down? So there's this gentleman named Philip Keller, and Philip Keller wrote this book, and I think it's something like A Shepherd's Look at Psalm chapter 23, and he did some of this stuff of shepherding, actually probably out in BC, if I'm not mistaken, and some things overseas. But he writes about this from a shepherd's perspective. Do you know how hard it is for sheep to lie down? Okay, we turned to our neighbors, and we said, you two are sheep, I am sheep. And we got to realize this thing, because how relatable is this to us? Sheep will not lie down because, one, they fear naturally. How many times do we feel like, man, I just can't seem to get to the place of peace in my life? We fear naturally. God, I don't know if there's enough money in the bank account. God, things are hard right now. Like, I just can't even go to sleep because there's just this constant irritation in my spirit or in my life. Like, I am just missing peace because we are fearing naturally. Sheep will not lie down because they are naturally timid creatures. Here's another reason why sheep won't lie down. Because, unfortunately, there's social strife among them. And here's what Philip Keller would say. He said there's actually a budding order for sheep. Like, they're always trying to show their dominance. None of us here are trying to show our dominance, right? None of us here would ever do that. They show their dominance. Relationships are hard for them. None of us would want to go to, like, keeping up with the Joneses. I got to wear a nice shirt. I got to get the latest fashion trend on. Or if I was like Pastor Curtis, I need to get the latest kicks. I need to get the latest Jumpmans. I'm not going to lie, I've actually been thinking about that, so this is for me too. Social strife actually do not let sheep lie down. And what's interesting is that Philip Keller actually did this thing, and he started realizing whenever a shepherd would come in, the very presence of a shepherd would actually bring peace amongst all the social strife. You want peace in your life? Let the shepherd lead you. Let the shepherd lead the flock. Let the shepherd lead your family. Social strife. And here's the other one. There's constant nagging issues. Sheep have a really hard time lying down because there's a lot of insects that are constantly bothering them, right? Or they have parasites and it's really hard. And we could dive into that whole thing with the oil and everything, but we're not going to do that right now. There are constant nagging issues. Anyone feel like there's a constant nagging issue? Do not look at your spouse. Do not look at anyone like that right now. We're not doing that hand-raising thing. I just saw someone hug their spouse. Thank the Lord. There are constant small nagging issues. Like, we can't go to bed at night because there's constantly something is always there. There's always a checklist that we feel like we didn't get done. There's always a phone call that we got to pick up. And we know that when that person picks up the phone, it's going to create a little bit of anxiety. There's always constant little things that make it uneasy for us to lie down. We too are sheep. And I got to be real with you. I just exposed myself. I said, like, the social thing, wanting to get some of the Jumpmans like Curtis. There are constant things in our life that make it really hard for us to lie down. But here's what it says. David proclaims it and he says, but the shepherd makes me lie down. The very presence of the shepherd in your life helps eliminate all that is chaotic. I'm not saying that the terrain is going to get easier in your life. I'm not saying that you're magically going to be in the pasture land immediately. But I'm saying the very presence of the shepherd actually helps the sheep to lie down. The constant nagging issues, the fear that we wrestle with, all those things, the shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So we got the small nagging issues. Psalm 23 reminds us that we need to focus on the shepherd. It is the shepherd who makes us lie down. We cannot bring the peace that we want to our own lives. You could keep searching for it, but I got to be honest with you, church. At some point, that peace is going to erupt. We too are sheep in need of a shepherd. So here's what I would love for us to do practically this week. One, it's pretty simple. Let the shepherd lead your life. Who is it, Mariah Carey that said, let Jesus take the wheel? Did I say that wrong? Yeah. Carrie Underwood, thank you. I'll fact check next time before I get up here with that stuff. Let's bring it back. Let the shepherd lead your life. It's so easy for us to always want to have control in our lives. It's so easy because, you know, listen, God gave us a mind and he's given us strategy, but we do this in partnership with God. And we got to be careful that we're not also trying to do things for God. This is the best that I think that God will want to do. Listen, we got to do it with God. When I was at Mission Global, we had this, there's a season that comes up and we have to do all the reporting and it's called a gap plan. And I'm looking at our gap plan and I'm sitting in this bed and I'm wondering, I'm inspired by this conference that we're at and it's called the Sender Summit. And people are releasing quite a few different amounts of people into the world and here I am sitting and I'm wondering, we've been putting in a lot of work. like countless hours, countless trips, and my prayer is that, God, would you send the next generation to go? And we are putting in a lot of work. We're doing the marketing, we're doing the media, we're doing all the graphics, we're doing whatever we can. I'm getting into other places. We're getting the chance to speak into other places. And I look back at our gap plan and I look at our goals and I'm just like, God, we are so far off. We are so far off. And I just felt so disappointed and sad. And I was like, God, my prayer is that a generation would go. What's going on? And in my spirit, I felt like what God was saying is, in a sense, that are you going to let me lead the way now? Are you ready for me to do this? We can keep doing all the right things, and yes, we need to be strategic. Yes, we need to use the wisdom that God has given us, but we need to do it with God. And I remember the verse as I woke up the next morning. The verse was, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I said, okay, God, I get it. I'm sorry. In that moment, I got to be honest with you, church, I repented. Here I am working and helping out at national office and thinking that I can do this, thinking that I could possibly lead the way. Once again, strategy is good, vision is good, wisdom is good, these things are good, but we got to be careful that we're not doing it for God, that we're doing it with God. We got to be careful, church, that the shepherd is leading our life. Let the shepherd lead your life. That's our practical point. And here's the next thing. When we're looking at it, John 14, verse 26, it says this. So you're saying, Josh, you know what? What does that actually look like? John 14, verse 26, it says this. But the helper, who's the helper? It's the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells. He lives in your life. And this is what the Holy Spirit is said as. He is the comforter. He's the advocate. He's the intercessor. He's the counselor. He's the strengthener. The Holy Spirit can lead you into paths of righteousness. He knows where to take you, even if the terrain is hard. He is there for you, but it looks like spending time with Jesus. It looks like constantly talking to him in our everyday. Listen, Jesus is good. The Holy Spirit is not just for this Sunday. The Holy Spirit actually wants to help you in your business. The Holy Spirit actually wants to guide you when you're doing things in the medical profession. Whatever it might be, the Spirit of God actually also wants to help you. It's not just for the Sunday. It's not just for the struggles of our life. God wants to lead you along the right paths for his name's sake. So we see that the shepherd leads us. And you've heard me say this quite a bit. I want us to remember this. This is our second point. This is our take home for today. And it's, don't put the focus on the pasture destination. Find comfort in the presence of your shepherd. The meadow, green, rolling grass, don't get too caught up on the end destination. Like you think that we might finally make it. I got to be honest with you. I thought that if money just came in, we'll finally be at peace. More money sometimes means more problems. Not that money's a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, David does this thing when he looks into the Psalms, and we take a look into the Psalms. Here is what David does. How do we get practical? Like, we actually got to use our mouths, and we actually got to declare with our mouths who the shepherd is, who is leading your life. Like, it's good enough for me to say, Josh, you know what? Let the shepherd lead your life. Here's what David does. He actually defines who the shepherd is. He says, you know what? This is my shepherd. He lets me lie down in green pastures, God, when it's not easy and the terrain is rough. I know that you can bring me to rest. I know that you can let me lie down. He declares it and he says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. God, I know that you could bring me beside quiet waters. Listen, if the water was too rushing for the sheep, they could flip on their backside. And if the shepherd wasn't there, sheep can actually die if they flipped into their backside. The shepherd knows the right waters to also bring you to. This is your shepherd. He's declaring it with his mouth. So we're saying declaration. He says he restores my soul. He guides me along paths of righteousness. But here is something that happens. When he gets to the valley of the shadow of death, I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe you might feel like you're at the valley of the shadow of death. Here is what David does. He goes from speaking about God in the third person, and he gets really personal here. And he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, I'm not going to fear any evil, for you are with me. He's getting personal with God. We declare with our mouth, but we also got to realize that God is personal. He is with you, he is for you, he's not against you. And here is your shepherd, church. Here is the good shepherd that you could put your trust in. Are you missing peace? Are you looking at the Judean wilderness and being like, that seems pretty relatable to me? Well, here is the good shepherd who is able to lead you. So, church, I would love for us to pray. I want to take a little bit of time here. So, why don't we all stand up? And I want you to get real with me. Because maybe this psalm has changed your view and becomes a little bit more relatable to you. And we're going to take a little moment here to pray. How many of you feel like that Judean wilderness feels like that is my life right now? That terrain is me right now. You can slide that hand up. I don't need to acknowledge it. God knows what's going in your life right now. But we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, but we're also going to say, God, you are going to be my shepherd in this life. Or perhaps you're here and you have no idea who Jesus Christ is, and you're hearing about this shepherd. Well, here's an opportunity as well for you to accept the good shepherd. Are you missing peace in your life? Here is the good shepherd that could lead you along the right paths. So let's pray. God, we thank you. We learn that you are the good shepherd. We learn that in you we can put our hope, we can put our trust. So, Father, when everything is feeling and looking like the Judean wilderness, when it feels like we just want to take the shortcut, but you're leading us around and around, and we're starting to get tired and frustrated, we're still saying it, Lord, you are our shepherd. Lead us along the right paths for your name's sake. And God, maybe we felt like we are the sheep that kept jumping back into the crevice. Father, I thank you because you say that you would leave the 99 to go find the one. So for you who might be here today, know that God would leave the 99 for the one. There is nothing good enough that you could do. There is nothing bad enough that you have done that could separate you from your Father's love. And for us today, God, we are just trusting you. We're saying, God, we declare your goodness. We declare who you are as the shepherd of our lives. In you, we are able to lie down. In you, do we know that there is enough for us to be fed, to be taken care of. And we just trust you. And in your holy name, and everyone in church, online or here, said, amen. Well, church, I pray that you would know who your shepherd is. As you go out this week, I pray that you will be led by your shepherd and that we would not try to just lead our own lives. May you find the peace that God has for you.